welcome to the space show, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Now, you've got a program, a spacecraft up there called NEA, and it's on the way towards an asteroid called Eros. What's the go on this?
Yeah, so NEA will be going into orbit around Eros on January 10, and that will be the first time that a spacecraft has actually gone into orbit around a small body, by which we mean a comet or an asteroid.
And by small, how big is Eros?
Eros is actually one of the largest of the near-Earth asteroids. It is 40 kilometers in its longest diameter, and then it's all across the two smaller diameters, it's around 14 kilometers.
And where is it?
Well, it's between the orbits of Mars and Earth. It goes out more than 2 AU from the Sun and comes in very close to Earth's orbit.
It's two times the distance of the Earth from the Sun.
Yes, something like that.
And what are you going to do when you get there? You're going into orbit and presumably lots of photographs. And what else?
Lots of photographs and also measurements of what Eros is made of, both in terms of what types of minerals are present and the proportions of some of the key elements. So we can ask ourselves whether Eros is an example of the primitive brew of materials from which all the planets, all the terrestrial planets formed, or whether instead it has been cooked, in other words, heated to the melting point and then separated, and so it would be a more evolved type of asteroid.
On Earth, you can see, and some of the other larger planets, that there has been volcanism and tectonism and so on. But these bodies, surely, I mean, there'd be nothing, not enough mass, not enough size to create any sort of internal structure, any changes over millions of years.
That's absolutely correct. And the way it can happen is that if this is in fact what has happened on Eros, was that it was once part of a much larger body, but that this precursor body has been disrupted by a collision, and we only see pieces of it now in the asteroid belt.
So it's sort of as a result of impact heating.
So, well, the heating was probably endogenic, it's probably radioactive elements within a formerly lunar-sized body, which caused it to melt, so that various parts, the inside, the interior layers, and the exterior layers would have different composition. The iron in particular would melt and flow toward the center of such a body, leaving the outer layers more like the mantle or the crust or the materials you see, say, on the surface of the Earth or the Moon. Now, when such a body is disrupted by a collision with another large asteroid, then the different pieces, some of the pieces will be very iron-rich, and some will be depleted in iron. The Eros could therefore be the fragment of the asteroid which contains more of the outer layers, so containing materials similar to what is found on the crust and the outer layers, the mantle of the Earth or the Moon. And if that's the case, then we would see that by measuring the proportion of these key elements, iron, silicon, magnesium, among others, which is what we will do on NEAR.
If you could land on Eros, what would it be like? What would you, I mean, would you kick up dust like you do on the Moon, or what would it be like?
Well, we'd like to find out. And one of the big mysteries is whether an asteroid as small as Eros can, in fact, maintain the very fully developed dust, and we call it regolith, the soil, the deep soil layer, like you find on the Moon or on the Earth. We think that there is a regolith on Eros. This we inferred from infrared or heat radiation measurements made some time ago from the Earth when Eros came, the last time Eros came fairly close to the Earth. We think there is a regolith on Eros, but we don't really know very much more than that.
And you'll be operating around Eros for about 2 years?
We will be orbiting around Eros for a little over 1 year. We do have a plan at the end of our mission to actually attempt a landing on Eros. And exactly what happens at that point remains to be seen. But the goal is to obtain measurements from very close to the surface, from within 1 kilometer for sure of the surface, and possibly even make contact and touch down.
And you'll be doing photography all the way in?
We will as far as we can, in any case.
And are you expecting a relatively soft touchdown, or are you just going to crash?
Well, we don't want to crash and damage the spacecraft, because then the data cannot be returned. So we certainly want to, if there is an impact, have it to be a very gentle one. But that's the challenge, to do it that way.
How strong is the gravity there?
It's very weak compared to Earth. It is, I believe, about 10,000 times weaker than the Earth. I should check that.
Okay. And after that, you've got mountains of data to analyze, of course. How long will that take?
Well, we only have funding to analyze data through the end of the year 2000. So that's how long it's going to take, because the money will stop.
Oh, dear. And then after that, it's open to anyone else that that's wants to correct. Analyze it, if that they've got the money.
That is correct. The money, the data will all be permanently stored in an archive that NASA maintains. It's called the Planetary Data System, and there is preserved for posterity. And we do, in fact, expect that we and all other planetary scientists will continue to work with the data for many years afterwards.
Well, good luck with the continuance then of the NEAR mission.
Yes, stay tuned.
Thank you for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you.